So if you have a Bible, it would be really helpful if you could perhaps turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And we'll be looking particularly at verses 6 to 12. And the particular verse is, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So, this morning, the subject is money. Now, that's a really difficult subject to preach on in church, but I think it's a really important subject to preach on, and we don't hear about it very often. And as I said, this is not something I've been asked to do at all, so this is not a subject that that the eldership have asked me to preach on at all, but it was laid on my heart, and I felt it was the right thing to do. People often say, it's all the church ever talk about is money. All about money. We need money. We need money to do this. But it's all the world ever seems to talk about as well. If you are aware of a 1970s rock band called Pink Floyd, some of you will have heard of them. Some of you will be thinking, who on earth are they? They wrote a song called Money, and the lyrics for that are money. I was going to play it, actually, but I thought maybe we'd... might be not appropriate. Money, get away. Get a good job with more pay and you're okay. Money, it's a gas. Grab that cash with both hands and make a stash. New car, caviar, four-star daydream. Think I'll buy me a football team. Money, get back. I'm all right, Jack. Keep your hands off of my stack. They go on to sing, money, it's a crime. Share it fairly, but don't take a slice of my pie. Money, so they say, is the root of all evil today. Well, talking about giving and money in church is a bit like talking to your children about the birds and the bees. It's a little bit awkward, and it's probably best done another day. You know, it's one of those conversations, do you really want to have that conversation? Well, sometimes we need to do that. I heard recently of a mother who wanted to teach her daughter a lesson about giving. She gave the little girl a 10p piece and a £2 coin for church. Put whichever one you want in the collection plate and keep the other one for yourself, the mother said to her daughter. When they were coming out of church, the mother asked her daughter about which amount she had given. Well, said the little girl, I was going to give the £2 coin, but just before the collection, the man in the pulpit said that we should all be cheerful givers. I knew I'd be a lot more cheerful if I gave the 10p, so I did. Now, the writers in the Bible were very happy to talk about money and giving and financial support. And they made the connection between giving being a part of worship. And that's what I'd like to try and do today. So we've come here this morning to sing. We've come here to read the Bible. We've come here to pray. Some have come to cry. Some have come to be encouraged. Some have come to laugh. Some have come to be an encourager. We've come here to hear God's word preached. And we also have come here to enable God's work to actually happen. And the box that we have at the back, sometimes at the front, is one of the ways we give and we worship on a Sunday morning. We used to go to a Church of England church when we lived in Braintree. And at the end of the service, when they'd come up with the collection plate, it had a plate there rather than a box. The fairly standard prayer, which many of you will know, and we sometimes say here, was, and of your own have we given you. And that was a very timely reminder that actually, when we put some money in a box, or we write out a direct debit, or we give money to the Lord's work, it's not our money. We're giving back to God his money, his asset. That's what we say that's what we do when we give to the church. We have giving back what he has given us. Of your own, I'm giving back something you gave me. Now, God could have decided in his sovereignty to fund the work of the church and mission and evangelism any way he wanted. He could have decided any way he wished to do it. But he decided to fund it through us. He decided to fund a church like this, or a mission agency like UBM, or others, through us. He decided to give us the responsibility, with what he's given us, to give it back to him. as the great American sailor and businessman Captain Levy said in 1850, when he was asked once how he could give so much to the Lord's work and still possess great wealth, the captain replied, "Oh, as I shovel it out, he shovels it in, and the Lord has a bigger shovel." And that was just really encouraging this morning, because we don't give out of our wealth, we give what God's given us. And this morning we're going to look at three things: the who, the what, and the how of giving. So let's just briefly look at who. You all have heard of Henry Ford, the Ford manufacturing, American industrialist. He was once asked to donate money for the construction of a new hospital. He was a billionaire, and he pledged to donate $5,000. The next day, in the newspaper, the headline read, "Henry Ford contributes $50,000 to the local hospital." Henry Ford was irate. He got on the phone immediately to complain to the fundraiser that he had been misunderstood. The fundraiser replied they would print a retraction in the paper the following day to say Henry Ford reduces his donation by $45,000. Realizing the poor publicity that this would result, the industrialist agreed to give the $50,000 in return for the following biblical inscription that was to be put over the top of the hospital: "I came among you and you took me in." Now that was a billionaire giving money. The point is this morning, when we say who, it's each of us. Because it's not the amount that matters, it's how we do it. So, whether you're a dinky this morning, a dual income and no kids — I don't think we have many of those, we have a few — or a sinky, a single income and numerous kids, a yuppie, a young and up and coming professional, or a buppy, a black urban professional, the point is that we are all called to give. The who is all of us. It's not the person next to you, it's not your parents, it's not your children, it's all of us. That's one of the reasons why it's really good when children can take a small offering into Sunday school or to Brian, because it gets them into that holy habit of giving right from the start. That putting the 10p in a plate or in a box or the 20p, actually, the amount isn't important. It's just getting them thinking we are giving to the Lord's work. It's part of our worship. And it's as much a part of our worship as singing. So we've sang some very rousing hymns this morning. We've enjoyed that. Did you feel quite the same when you wrote that check out or you put that note or those coins into the box? Well, that's as much a part of your worship this morning as the singing has been. It is painful, and it is a bit awkward, and it is a bit challenging, and it is a bit uncomfortable, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't address it. So this morning, as we look around each other and we talk to each other, don't think, "I wonder what they're doing. I wonder what she's giving. I wonder how much they're giving." Think this morning, it's a personal sermon. Think about, what are you doing? And an example of that is John Wesley. And I'll just tell you a little bit about John Wesley, the great hymn writer. We sing his hymns regularly. One of the greatest evangelists of the 18th century. Born in 1703. In 1731, he began to limit his expenses so that he would have more money to give to the poor and to Christian work. In the first year, his income was £30, and he found he could live on 28, so he gave away two. In the second year, his income doubled, but he held his expenses even, so he had £32 to give away. In the third year, his income tripled, and he gave away £62. And in his long life, Wesley's income advanced as high as £1,400 a year, but he rarely let his expenses rise above £30. He said that he seldom had more than £100 in his possession at a time. This so baffled the English tax commissioners that they investigated him in 1776, insisting that for a man of his income, and he was a very high earner then, he must have silver dishes that he was not paying tax on. That's how they used to get tax back, number of silver dishes you had. He wrote to them, "I have two silver spoons at London and two in Bristol. This is all the silver plate I have at present, and I shall not buy any more while so many around me want bread and need to hear the gospel." When he died in 1791, at the age of 87, the only money mentioned in his will was the coins to be found in his pocket and his dresser. Most of the £30,000, which is a fortune then, he had earned in his life, had been given away. Now that's a stirring example of a godly man who is a household name today, who recognized that it was him who was called to do something about it. So the point in this first point is the who is each of us. Whether you're the youngest or whether you're the oldest here, it's us who need to do something. It's not the person next to us or our parents or our children or our best friend or the person with money or the person without money. It's each of us. So that's the first thing. So second point then is what? What are we called to do? The who is each of us. What are we actually called to do? Well, we're called to give. As somebody once said, do your giving while you're living so you're knowing where it's going. And that's actually quite a helpful thing as well, because we have, each of us, whether it be a big amount or a small amount, we have something that we can give. It's not difficult and it's not complicated. You don't need a degree in theology or to be a chartered accountant. It is simple. We're called to give. That's the what. We are called to give. This could be most of our income, like John Wesley, who could live on a small amount and give away a vast amount, or it may be the widow's 2 copper coins, as Jesus saw in Mark 12. It may be the tiniest of tiny amounts. It may be the Old Testament guide of 10%. A lot of people talk about the tithe and giving away 10%, and whether that be of your gross income or of your net income. Or it may be the Church of England guide these days, which is 5% of your income. Or it may be you can give away just a few pennies a week. Or it may be you can give away far more than that. The point is that we do give. That's the what. And it's for each of us to decide. I'm not going to be up here this morning saying we should all give this and we should all give that, or we should all give it to here or we should give it to there at all. The point this morning is to challenge us to rethink it personally. Not under compulsion, but because you think it's the right thing to do and you think it's the right amount. Somebody once said, if you give what you do not need, it isn't giving. And true giving will hurt. Giving will and does hurt. But what's clear in the Bible and comes through again and again is that God wants the best, not the dregs. It's a different mindset. It's a different mentality. It's a different approach to life. And if you can start when you're young, hold things lightly, hold money lightly, hold things that you own lightly. Because actually, at the end of the day, first of all, you can't take it with you when you go. Secondly, they are gifts from God. You might think that thing is mine, but actually God's given that to you. And you are a custodian of it. And if it's laid on your heart for God to use that in a better way, then give it back to the Lord. David Livingstone, the explorer, said, I place no value on anything I have or may possess except in relation to the kingdom of God. If anything will advance the interests of thy kingdom, it shall be given away or kept. Only as by giving or keeping I shall most promote the glory of him to whom I owe all my hope in time or eternity. Because we do spend much of our life trying to sort out money. And money is often a big issue. And our finances become a big issue. I won't play this song either, but another song quoted, which most of you will have heard of a group from the 1970s called ABBA, who wrote a song about money. I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball. Money, money, money must be funny in the rich man's world. That line there never seems to be a single penny left for me. Well, is that you this morning? Let me encourage you to give and see God's supply. We read in verse 6 in our passage this morning, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. But he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. That's a farm illustration of the positive and the negative. When a person makes a habit of just giving a little, then the word is here saying they can expect very little in the way of blessings. But if they're giving generously, the Lord, they will reap bountifully. So that's the what. Let's look finally at the how. So we know who should be doing the giving. That's all of us. We know what we should be doing. We should be giving generously. But how should we be doing it? Well, the Lord said, the word of the Lord says regularly, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Cheerful, if you look at it back into the original language, actually means hilarious. So when you put those pennies or you write that direct debit or you put those notes into the box or you give in some way, and we're not just talking about the church here, the church will not happen without us giving. Let's be clear on that. There's no magic fund run by some institution in London that funds a place like this. We fund it. It will not happen otherwise. Many Christian charities will not operate without people donating funds to them. Christian charities particularly struggle because often non-Christian organizations won't fund Christian work. There's a particular need to fund Christian charities. But as we do that funding, the church here and Christian work generally, we need to do it how? Hilariously. It's with a joy in our heart. Now that's the Bible really twisting things massively because, oh goodness me, you know, okay, so you've decided I'm going to give some money. It's going to hurt a bit, but I really feel quite challenged about this. But so, Lord, there you go. Now double bless me. Well, I'm not saying that. But in doing so, we're doing it with joy and laughter, and we're doing it in a way which says, Lord, we're giving to you, and we want you to use it in a very joyous way. And if you can't give it joyously, I would say don't. I really would, because the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Listen to your heart this morning and decide in your heart and then give happily. And don't worry too much about where it's going or how it will be spent. There's lots of organizations that will give money to another organization and they want there's a whole list of 20 or 30 things that they want reports on. How has it been spent? What's happened here? How have things changed or improved? Well, when we give to the Lord's work, we don't need to ask those questions because those that receive it are accountable for it and they're accountable to God for it. And let them manage our giving as God leads them to manage it because they are accountable to the Lord for it. So our passage says give cheerfully, and cheerfully means regularly. That's why we've got standing order opportunities here and there are for many charities and for our church. Sacrificially, that means we may have to go without that occasional Indian meal or that thing that we like or that particular thing that we were going to do. And we give generously. Let's not give our maker the dregs, the leftovers. Let's give him the best. He's given everything for us. And there is an almost infallible human rule that our spending will expand to fill the income. Well, let's give God the first cut and then let's let our spending fill the gap. We do all naturally love to give, whether it be to a child or whether it be to a friend or a family member. When we give to God, we are blessed. And although most of our giving comes here, we don't give to our pastor. We don't give to a building. We're giving to God. And remember that, because there will be times in life when you're in a church where perhaps you don't fully understand the plans that are being done with a church building, or you don't fully back the style or approach of a minister, but actually you're not giving to the church building, you're not giving to the minister, you're giving to God. And that's a really important thing for each of us to remember, that God will use it and we're giving it to God and we trust him to use it wisely and to put people in place to use it. So, to sum up, we have a radically generous God, a God of abundance and abundant life, a God of life to the full, and we have a God of surrender, a God of lay it all down, a God of lose your life to gain it, a God of die every day to self. Let's challenge each of us this morning. If we've earned it, if we'd inherited it, if we've won it, if we found it, we did it by the grace of God. So give it up, give it back. It was never ours anyway. We're only looking after it for the Lord. God has given us responsibility for that money, that gift, that resource. Let's use it to bless someone else and for God's glory. Let's be brave today. And if you're not giving to the Lord, let me challenge you this morning to start by making a commitment. Give something faithfully and regularly. And I'm totally certain that God will honor and bless your commitment. Let's pray just briefly.
Dear Lord, in this act of service, this act of giving, we will worship you. We do worship you. Help each of us to decide in our heart what to give. Help us to be brave. Help us to be cheerful. We trust you, God, as our happy, generous shepherd, father and king, so that we will not be afraid when we have less money for ourselves in supplying the needs of others. Help us to resist the incredible pressure in our culture to accumulate more and more, as we want to lay up treasures in heaven and not on earth, so that our joy in God will be great forever. Amen.